All right, guys, Land an Alcoholic.
Yeah.
It is an honor to stand before you all, one that I did not know I would have. I don't know if I would have been here if I knew I had it. But I'm grateful. I'll just talk a little bit about what I was like, what happened to bring me here, and what it's been like for me these last 10, 11 months. For me, I knew that I had this disease pretty early on. I remember the very first time I took a drink. I was 8 years old. My family, they're like a big party family. Everyone lives close by. They get together 4 nights out of the week, and there's alcohol always available. There was this blue Kool-Aid in the fridge. It was hypnotic and something else, and I loved it. I drank the whole pitcher, was throwing up blue stuff the rest of the night. And ever since then, I just grabbed on to alcohol and any drug that was put before me. By the time I was in middle school, I was drinking 3-4 nights a week. I'd have my friends come over, my family come over, or we'd go to one of my aunts or uncle's houses and we'd be drinking. Thankfully though, I had sports. So I played basketball and football, and that kind of kept me on the rails a little bit for a while there. But by the time I went off to college, my freshman year in college, I wasn't playing sports anymore. Was on some academic scholarship, and I needed to keep the grades right. So my reward every night was I was getting messed up. But at that point, I didn't have the family to go home to that I need to look anyone in the face. I was drunk all the time. High, drunk, whatever. My mom's boyfriend at the time was big into AA, had 20 some odd years sober. And he saw me, and we met maybe within the same week that we met, he took me to an AA meeting. And I wasn't ready. I didn't hear anything, didn't resonate with the stories. I'm like, these guys are all 20 plus years older than me, so maybe in 20 plus years I'll come back. And I hit the ground running. The grades somehow, I managed to slip by for a while there. Random detoxes. And I, at one point in time, I saw some movie. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was Nicolas Cage, I want to say.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas. I got the idea in my head that I could go on an alcohol diet. Alcohol and drug diet. And I lasted about a week. And by the end of the week, my girlfriend at the time, I was talking to the walls. I couldn't stop drinking. I had crazy DTs. I had scratched up all my skin and everything on my arms. And she called my mom. My mom was like, we're going to go. I don't even remember what she said. I was so delusional. I don't think it really mattered. And she ended up taking me to the psych ward, and I was in there for about a month. Missed school, all this stuff. But when I tell you I left the psych ward, I mean, I was in there, and for the first time I felt, believe this or not, sane. I felt normal, because the people in there, they believed in me, and they saw something in me that I didn't see. And they understood whatever pain it was that I was going through. But it still wasn't enough. I thought it was weird that I became friend, like that for the first time I felt sane, I'm in a psych ward. but I got out, and I can't tell you if it was the same day or not, but within a week I was back drunk and high. living a double life. I'm still in school. I'm thinking I'm selling drugs. In the strip club half the time, not going to class. But for some way, I have no idea how or why I got through. Graduated school, and then it was more of the same stuff, more of the same stuff. A lot of close calls. I remember one night, it was daylight savings, and I was leaving the club, and it was just me in the car. I'm supposed to be meeting up with some woman I met out, and I am going the wrong way on the expressway, and I was drinking NyQuil and liquor, and I had both like in the car with me, and I fell asleep, hit the side of the barrier, my phone was dead, there were no cars on the highway. I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna go to sleep. I'm gonna go back to sleep. And that's exactly what I did. And then when I woke up, somebody finally called the cops, and the cop was knocking on my window. And that sobered me up. I had enough sense to put the half gallon in my book bag and the NyQuil in my book bag and whatever other stuff I had in the car. And he said, what happened? And I'm like, I was sick and I was taking NyQuil, and I just told a lie, and he didn't breathalyze me. So I have no idea why he did not breathalyze me. I had another incident where I'm trying to sell what little bit of stuff I'm selling, and I'm in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong hour, and someone has one of those little flag things in the grass, and I'm running over their stuff because I'm so drunk high. Cop stops me and he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm trying to go home. He was like, you don't live in this neighborhood. And you're running over shit. Like you're not okay. He told me to get out of the car. I thought he was gonna arrest me, and he was like, call an Uber and go home. And I stood there and faked like I was calling an Uber. He drove off, and I got back in my car and I kept going what I was doing. So many incidents just like that. Fast forward, I graduate college. It took me an extra year because I had that whole month in the psych ward and everything else. I ended up going to DC after that. Throughout my whole story, let me backtrack just a little bit. So one of the early things that I tried to block out, which I think I tried to block it out with the alcohol, and the women that I loved like a drug, just as much. When I was really young, I was sexually abused for years, and I didn't open up about it. I didn't tell anybody. I kind of just stuffed it down by an older family member. And I kind of just tried to pretend like it didn't happen, and then I just went the other way. Maybe I was trying to prove something, I don't know, but I ended up chasing women. So I moved to DC chasing one girl that I thought could make me better. And as the story goes, I just made her life a living hell. And continued to drink, drug, try to be the worst financially balanced drug dealer you can imagine. And I finally met a girl who I thought was the one that was going to change my life. She had experienced similar trauma, and she's like into psychiatry and all of this stuff. She's a doctor. She's got, you know, she's in med school right now and still finishing up. And she was just really smart, but it turned against me really quickly, because within the first 3 months of our relationship, she knew that I was an alcoholic, and I couldn't hide it. And to the point of like, not, you know, I think you have a problem with alcohol. She's like, no, you need to go away. You need to do something about this. And she didn't know about all the other stuff, but she could see that I was heavily dependent on alcohol. And I did not know what to do at that point. That was the first point where I'm like, you know, because I kept falling upward, I was able to convince myself that I've got this under control. I drink because I want to drink. I drug because I want to drug. I do this because it's my reward. It makes me feel sane. It makes me be able to relate to people. And trying to have a healthy relationship with the woman that I knew I really cared for and I knew actually loved me was the first experience where I felt like I couldn't. Alcohol and drugs were preventing me from being the person that I needed to be. And I actually tried with her. We did. I'm 23 doing couples therapy. I'm gone to see. I'm like, I don't know about AA because I told you I've been dragged to AA many times, like a few times at that point before this situation. She's like, you need to be in AA. I'm like, I'm not doing that, but I'll see a therapist, whatever, you know, and try different things like that. And I followed her down to North Carolina. And I even got to the point where I did a full 2 year. I told her, I'm going to do it. You know what? I'm going to prove to you that I'm not an alcoholic and that this is going to work. Now, mind you, I was doing a lot of drugs, but I didn't drink. I did not drink for a full year. And she was even still, surprisingly, now that I'm in the rooms, I understand what being a dry drunk is. And even though I was still doing the drugs, because I wasn't doing them in the way that I wanted to do them, I was so dry. I could look back and see how angry I was, punching holes in walls and all kinds of shit that's just not me. And at the end of the year, I'm like, see, I told you I could do it. And she thought, no, this is what you're supposed to do from now. I'm like, oh hell no. And so after that point, I turned, I'm like, you know what? We tried, it didn't work. I went back to drinking, and within a month, it was so bad that so at this point, we have a lease, it's getting ready to end, and we knew that the relationship was probably going to come to a close. My sister was also living with me at the time, and my younger sister is really near and dear to me. Like, I really care about her, and she has a history of struggling with depression, and they got to the point where they didn't know where I was for days on end, because I'd wait till they leave the house, come home and sneak in, take a shower, and then go back out. And they were trying to check up on me, and so I guess one time I was home, they turned the Find Me on my iPhone, and so they pop up at different places I was at in the middle of me drinking and shit, and I'm being like, okay, you know what? Take this phone. I was taking taxis the rest of the time for about 2-3 weeks. And finally one day my sister sat down and she's like, if you kill yourself, then I'm going to kill myself. And I was like, okay, I got to at least leave this situation. I don't know about the rest of it, but I'm going to at least leave this situation. And so the plan that they came up with is we're going to call a number, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'll do detox. I've done detox plenty of times. At this point, I had probably done detox about 4 or 5 times. So and detox in North Carolina, I don't know how it is here, but not the whole, they don't have PHP, IOP. So it was just for alcohol, depending on how bad you are, 4 to 7 days. And the number that we ended up dialing, it had a North Carolina area code, and they go all the way through the process, asking all the questions and everything. And at the end of it, they're like, we're going to fly you out. I'm like, fly me out? What are you talking about? Like, well, no, you're coming to Florida. So they're like, we think this will be good. I'm like, I'm not going to Florida. But like, no, you really have to do this. So I said, okay, we'll try it out. So I ended up hopping on a plane. I did detox. And then I was in detox for about 14 days. Started to feel better. Again, I got that same feeling of I'm in a room full of crazy people, but I feel normal for the first time again. You know, listening to their war stories and being able to share mine and not be judged for it and all that stuff. And so I did the full 14 days or so in detox and residential. And then they asked me if I wanted to do PHP. I'm like, I got to get back to work. I need to go home, whatever, whatever. They're like, no, just try it out. Stay. I went to this PHP up in Lantana. It's called the Best Treatment Center. It was not the best treatment center. I was probably there for about 24 hours until I was like, give me my shit and I'm leaving. And I had to fake like I was gonna call the cops and all this shit just so I can get my stuff and leave, because they were trying to hold me hostage there. They were like, we're gonna call your family and tell them that you're not doing well and this. And I was like, I don't know who the fuck you're gonna call. I have no. So it didn't matter. But I ended up leaving. And I'm like, you know, I'm not gonna give up on this yet. So at this point, I still hadn't picked up or anything since I came down to Florida. But I ended up leaving there and going to a place in West Palm, maybe Juno Beach area. And I did PHP IOP there for about 20 days, maybe something like that. 10 days in, I got this wise idea that my roommate in the PHP IOP, he wanted to drink. So, but the thing is, once he got his liquor, he couldn't go back out because you have to breathalyze. So I'll go get it for him. Give me 10 bucks here and there, whatever. No big deal. Cigarette money. And I started doing that for him, and then other people wanted me to do it. And then by that point, I'm like, well, we could have a little party. Like, and I started drinking and smoking weed and stuff in the IOP. I got caught hooking up with some girl in the IOP. It's a mess. And by that time, I was back to it, fully drunk all the time. They kicked me out, of course. Well, they gave me an opportunity. They said, you want to go back to detox or you can leave? And I'm like, I'm fucking out of here. And I rented a room, and now I get to see if the coke is as good in Florida as they say. And so I was on a full tear. I had been working for maybe 4 years prior to that, so I had a little bit of money in a 401k. I took it all out and went on a three-month bender. By the end of it, I was going to the hospital damn near every week. Getting DTs again, so dehydrated, stupid shit. And I failed to mention, I met a lovely lady in IOP who's bipolar. And it was great because she liked uppers. I mean, she liked downers. I liked uppers, and we kind of met in the middle. We found a balance for a little while, and it became an absolute shit show quickly. And we thought, you know, I was renting a room, probably 7 houses down from the dealer, and we weren't even leaving the house and doing anything anymore. We were just going to him, going like, why don't you just get more? You gonna call me again in 3 hours? And it's like, that's not how this works. And it was just a mess, man. And at the end of it, we decided that we needed to leave West Palm and come down to Fort Lauderdale. I don't know why we chose Fort Lauderdale. I knew I needed to leave that area. And she was like, can I come with you? And I'm like, of course. And it was probably just a month into that where we were both, I no longer wanted to get high because I just could, like, I knew that I was just miserable, basically. And we got into an argument. She called the police. And she ended up hitting me in my lip. So I'm grateful that she did, because I would have been the one locked up otherwise. But she hit me in my lip so bad, I needed like 6 stitches. They came into the house. She was smoking pressed pills and stuff. And got her away. I went to a meeting for the first time in a really long time. I'm like, I just need to go to a meeting at this point. Maybe I just need to give this shit a chance. And I ended up meeting a guy at 12-step house who was a part of the 441 group up in Margate. And this particular group of the 441 group, they meet at 8 p.m. Every day of the week. And they are a subsect of the Syracuse group. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Syracuse group, but basically their idea is, once you have one day, you should sponsor someone that has 0 days, and you work the steps as your sponsor sees fit, which could take years. So it's based on time. So the person that has the most time has the most seniority, and they are the one that runs the group. And so the guy who had the most time in that group had 10 years, but he hadn't gone past step 4. So no one else has gone past any of the other steps. We're all on step 0, basically. So, it was. And the thing is, they for a while there, they actually kept me sober, though, because they met every day and because they had a camaraderie. You know, they had the group where you walk in the circle an hour before the meeting. You just walk, basically it's in a parking lot that's a big circle, and so you can walk the circles and you talk with the different guys just about what's going on in life. They're pulling guys from treatment centers, so we're all just talking about war stories, and no one is focused on the solution. So if you do that for too long, you get to a point where you're just fucking miserable. And that's what happened to me. I'm like, if I'm gonna be miserable sober or high, I'd rather be high. And it didn't take long before I relapsed, and it didn't take long before that relapse put me in the hospital again. And at that point, I was like, I was ready to come to something different. And luckily, I had been to the West Side a couple of times before that, and I knew that it was a meeting. If you raise your hand, you can get a sponsor. And I was just desperate. I didn't want to be drunk or high anymore, but I really didn't want to give it up either. And so I went to West Side. I raised my hand once before, but it's less important because the guy, like, I wasn't ready. I was on a marijuana maintenance and amphetamine maintenance program. So when I raised my hand this time around, it just so happened to be Steve. And I was honest with him. You know, he was like, are you willing? And I'm like, in this moment, yes, I'm willing. Are you sure that you're never going to drink or drug again? Like, do you really want to do this? And I said, no, I don't know that. I don't know that. I just know that for right now, what I'm doing isn't working. And he pulled me in and he introduced me to the Monday night group. I was actually just a guest, and I told him, I like that meeting. Can I keep coming? And he was like, well, it's invite only, actually. But the guys allowed me to stay, and it has been one of the best things that has ever happened to me, honestly, guys. As I told you, just with my the things that happened to me as a child. I didn't have good relationships with men at all. My dad's not really in my life. I mean, at that point, he wasn't in my life. Just didn't have any good relationships with men. And so to be in a group of guys that get vulnerable, talk about what's going on in life, help each other, pick each other up, and you can tell genuinely care about each other. I was skeptical at first, but I could see how genuine it was. I could see how much work you guys put into the spiritual growth that is this program. And I didn't even know that that's what it was. I thought this was all about not drinking or drugging, which is like, why would you put a program around that? Shouldn't you try to figure out how to incorporate drinking and drugging into your life? But no, I mean, in the days have just gone by. Like, honestly, I still feel like the person that just raised his hand, asked to be a part of that group. But in many ways, I mean, I have friends, and for the first time, like genuine friends that I know I can call when something's going on, that guide me even without me asking for guidance, because I hear what you guys say in the meetings. And so when it shows up in my life, I can just, what would Dave do? What would Ed O'Rourke do? Am I facing that conscious contact with God, or am I choosing something that's different? And it's like those things I never knew I needed. But when you get a little taste of it, you know that it's the only thing that matters. And, you know, talk about like the wealth that you get in AA, and I know it's not monetary. And I think that if you apply yourself, of course, you can achieve great things in many different realms. But I realized that the richness of relationships, the relationship that you get to build with God, the relationship that you get to build with yourself, is far more than I didn't even know it was possible, to be honest. Like, I didn't even think that it was possible to have that kind of relationship, because I always saw myself as other. You know, some people have these things, but that just doesn't apply to me. And so when I get the opportunity to be a part of this group and feel a part of this group, it's nothing better than that. And so what my life is like today is I'm still kind of on this pink cloud, to be honest with you. I mean, sure, I have some small problems here and there, but again, I've learned that feelings aren't permanent. I've learned that I can go through something, and just by going through that, I could put that on my spiritual chest, so that I know that whenever I go through something different, I just went through the other thing and God carried me through. I know that it's not going to be any different today. And I've never had that before. So I'm grateful, guys. Thank you for letting me share.